keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And we'll end at verse 17. And as ever, we do trust the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. One of the most difficult messages to preach is always the opening message in a new series. Always find it difficult because you have to really do an introduction. Perhaps it's not as exciting as getting into the nuts and bolts of passages or characters or subjects, but we have to basically set the ground before we dig in to the Word of God. And so I come with some apprehension and nervousness this morning because I believe as I've spent some time looking at the commands, particularly on holidays, and spending a lot of time studying them, I have been truly blessed and truly challenged. And there's so much in the Ten Commandments. There's so much more than just what you read on the pages of Scripture. It's a rich study. It's a challenging study. It's one, I believe, in which all of us will be under the spotlight of the Spirit of God. And therefore, it becomes a difficult study in many ways because you and I know we live in a day and age when the Ten Commandments have basically, by and large, been discarded by many, seen as outdated and irrelevant. And when you seek to put God's holy standard out there, you can be sure the devil's not happy. He will try to keep you away from the meetings. He will try and get you to shrug the shoulders with some of them. Perhaps even you'll spend so long trying to apply the commandments to someone else, you miss what God has to say to you. It's a challenging study. I wonder, will you stay the course? Will you get 10 out of 10 when it comes to listening to the commandments of God? There was an American association once formed called Less Lawlessness Through Less Law. Their plan for dealing with crimes in society was to basically abolish many of the laws. Let's legalize marijuana. Let's legalize so many things. And if these things are all legalized, then less people will break the law. Stupid as that seems, that's really the thoughts of many people in society. We go back into the book of Judges. It said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And this is really where we are in society this morning. But how we need rules. How we need standards. Can you imagine a football match with no rules, no standards? You wouldn't know how to win. You don't know when you've lost. You don't know what's in, what's out. It would just be chaos. The world without God's standards becomes chaos. And I believe we're living in a chaotic world. We need rules. Mathematics doesn't work without rules. Physics doesn't work without rules. We need rules in so many areas of our lives. God has given us his blueprint for living. God's laws for living a godly life in an ungodly world. Some would tell us, surely the commandments are obsolete. I would say they're not. They're absolute this morning. I want to commend the commandments to you over these next number of weeks. Some might say, surely we've gone past the commandments. The truth is, we haven't really caught up with them yet. One of the most intelligent men, the wisest man ever to live outside of the Lord Jesus Christ was Solomon. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, he tells us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, For this is the whole duty of man. That word duty is actually in italics. This is how we could read it. This is the whole of man. This is the whole of man, keeping the commandments of God. James says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. It's the whole law for the whole man. When we come to look at a study like the Ten Commandments, we may be accused of others, perhaps other Christians even, of becoming very legalistic. Alan Redpath said this, the commandments are rules laid down by one intelligent being to another, the one having the right to exercise authority over the other. If this is legalism, he said, blessed legalism. We cannot say, thy kingdom come, until our kingdom goes. Let me say a few things about the commandments by way of introduction, about the law in general when it comes to the Word of God. I want to say something nationally, first of all. The commandments originally were given to Israel, and you find them repeated in Scripture. Moses gave them at least two occasions, and in Deuteronomy 6, verse 18, Moses said, thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou may goest in and possess the good land which the Lord sware to thy fathers. And even possession of the land was tied to their obedience of the law of God. And of course, that doesn't apply to you and I this morning. We're not looking for a land this morning. We're looking for the land that is fairer than day. We're looking for a home in heaven this morning. But isn't it true that these commandments of God would be a real blessing to any nation? Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Can you imagine the impact on family life? Husband and wives faithful to each other. Can you imagine the impact on our families, children who respect authority in the home and outside the home as well? Can you imagine the impact on social life? Lying, stealing, covetousness, all condemned. We live in a society which indeed condones much of what God condemns, even in the Ten Commandments. But what a nation we would have if we were to get back to the Ten Commandments. Let me mention not only nationally, but theologically as well. The children of Israel were emphatic in their declaration that they would keep the commandments. Exodus 19, verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord God hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. They said, we are going to keep the law, but of course we know they didn't. Indeed, before Moses even come down from the mount, they had the golden calf, and they were worshipping this image which God had condemned in the Ten Commandments. The dispensation of the law ended in failure. Israel unable to keep the law. Israel unable to do what they claimed to do. When we come into the New Testament, we read the law was given by Moses, John 1, verse 17. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 6, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And so the law primarily was for the Jew. We are not under the law. We're not under the law in the sense that our salvation is not depending upon law keeping this morning. We live in the day and the age of grace. Let me say this, law brings a work to do. Grace tells us of a work that is done. Law reveals sin, Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by law is the knowledge of sin. Law reveals sin, grace reveals salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The law curses us. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Grace redeems us from the curse. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The law says, do this and live. Grace tells us all about what Christ has done. Has the law any relevance then? Has the law any relevance to you and I today? Did the Lord Jesus not change the law? Come over to Matthew 5 just to show you something. Matthew 5, verse 38. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Let me read. When I talk about the law, remember there's a ceremonial law, there's a moral law, and there's a dietary law. The law encompassed all of this, not just the Ten Commandments. So look at Matthew 5, verse 38. Here's the Lord Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, doesn't it seem that the Lord's changing the law? But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. This is a reference to Leviticus 24, 19 and 21, and 19 to 21, where they were told about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The whole reason behind that law was that the punishment should fit the crime. Now what the Sadducees and the Pharisees and scribes had done, they had made this a license for anybody, any individual, just to take out retaliation. Anybody annoys you, you annoy them back. Anybody does something to you, you do it back. That was never what this law was about. This law was to go through a proper judiciary system. This law could only be enforced if there were two witnesses. And the idea was the punishment should fit the crime, because very often the punishment far outweighed the crime. And so the Lord Jesus is bringing this back to the reality. He's not changing the law. Now look at verse 17 in Matthew 5, just to show you what the Lord said. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of the commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus didn't change the law. He was given the proper interpretation of the law. Notice what he said in Matthew 5 again. He said, turn the other cheek. Have you got revenge in your heart this morning? Has someone hurt you this morning and you want to hurt them plus back? Well, this is what this is dealing with this morning. It's not even about what we do, it's what we don't do. We don't retaliate. We don't try and get even. We are God's children this morning. We deal with things differently. And perhaps someone here, you just can't wait to get your opportunity to get your own back. Maybe God's saying to you this morning, look, step above it. Rise above the situation. Turn the other cheek. Just rise above the situation. Don't let the devil destroy your testimony over something like that. So the Lord wasn't changing the law. The Lord was taking the law back to the original meaning. There are aspects of the law. And remember, when I talk about the law, I talk about the ceremonial, the moral, and the dietary aspects of the law, which are not relevant for today. You see, in the church at Galatia, some tried to add circumcision to salvation. Indeed, in Acts 15, we read this, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And those who wanted to bring part of the ceremonial law into the message of salvation. In order to be saved, you must be circumcised. And of course, the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 dealt with that. Paul dealt with it again in Galatians, the whole book of Galatians, Galatians 1 verse 6. I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This is what he said in chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us again into bondage. And he speaks about bondage, trying to tie salvation to the law. Paul says we're set free from the law. Christ has fulfilled the law, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So there are ceremonial laws not relevant to you and I today. There are, of course, the dietary laws are not relevant to you and I today. We know from Acts chapter 10. You remember the vision that Peter had, and he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to Peter saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." He can't do that. He can't say "not so" and "Lord." He's either your Lord or he's not your Lord. And Peter says, "Not so, Lord." That's a contradiction, isn't it? But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake again unto him the second time, "What God hath cleansed, thou call not common." And of course, the dietary laws are not relevant for you and I today. The ceremonial laws are no longer relevant to you and I today. But what about the moral law? What about the Ten Commandments? Paul said in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over ye, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. God forbid." You see, some thought now that we're saved by grace, now that we're forgiven, we can do what we want. Paul says, God forbid. God forbid. That's not something that the Lord Jesus ever encouraged. I again have to make it very clear when it comes to the matter of salvation that you and I are free from the law. Oh, happy condition. But I believe the Ten Commandments are still relevant to you and I today. We've looked at it nationally. Let me say something about it personally very quickly, and I'll explain this in a moment. What does the unbeliever think of the Ten Commandments? Too simplistic. Relative. Certain situations perhaps allow for deviance. Too negative. Too many do's and don'ts. And of course, people don't like do's and don'ts. The truth is, Galatians 3:24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." The law reveals our sin. No wonder the world hates it. No wonder they want to do away with God's commandment, God's righteous standard. Of course, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And so it's profitable to study this. The law, the Ten Commandments, are like a compass that shows the direction we should be going. They're like a bridle. They restrain us from wrongdoing. They're like a thermometer. They measure how much we love the Lord. Do we love the Lord with our heart and soul and mind? They're like a mirror. They reveal our true condition before God. Alan Redpath said, "What Christians need is not more truth, but 100% obedience to the truth already revealed." We can no more dispense with the law than we can dispense with any portion of Scripture. I want you to come to Romans 8. You're probably still in the book of Romans. I think that's where I left you. Come over to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 1. "There is now therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Think about walking after the Spirit. A believer is to be controlled and filled by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Christ completely fulfilled the law. And God's perfect standard is imputed to you when you trust Christ as your Savior. It's not something you have to do. It's not something you have to keep. God's perfect standard is imputed to you the moment you believe. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. God's righteous standard of the law should be seen in the life of every believer. And it's those who walk after the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, then you will be naturally, because you're a child of God, you will be obeying the Ten Commandments. But if you're not, then part of you at least has been controlled by the flesh. And so you and I have a responsibility under the power of the Spirit of God to keep these commandments. These commandments reveal how much you love the Lord. I'll say more as we go through your study, but there's two tablets of the law. It's believed they were divided in two. We'll talk about the division when we get through them. There are those that talk about our relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There are those that talk about our relationship with each other. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. And when the Lord was asked to summarize the law, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And when you love the Lord, when the first tablet of the law is in your heart, and you love the Lord with your heart and your soul and mind, then you'll love your neighbor as yourself. When I get some of God's people, and I've had them recently, even on holidays, I've had people come to me and talk about somebody else in the church. And when I hear somebody running down somebody else in the church, I know they've got a problem with their relationship with God. Because if you love the Lord with your heart and soul and mind, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. You'll not be running them down, brother or sister. You'll not do that. Because you love the Lord with your heart and soul and mind. When I find someone sowing discord among the brethren, and I'm not saying I have that, I know their first problem is their relationship with God. They're not right with God. And so these commandments have a vertical and a horizontal aspect. And they talk about our relationship to God and our relationship to each other. And we need to spend time studying the Ten Commandments. How much do we love the Lord? Are we truly walking after the Spirit? Is the righteousness of God being fulfilled in us? Are the Ten Commandments, God's standard, so implanted in our hearts that this is what people see lived out in our lives? In Exodus 19, verse 10, we read this, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow. They're just about to get the commandments. Let them wash their clothes and be ready again the third day, for the third day will the Lord come down in the sight of all the people onto Mount Sinai. Before the commandments were given, there was much preparation and preparation of heart. I hope you're prepared. And I hope you'll not shut your ears to the bits you don't want to hear. And I hope you'll not let it go in one ear and out the other ear. And mums and dads here, if our young people don't get what the moral standard is from the Word of God, and even from this pulpit, and from you, where are they going to get it? They'll not get it from the television. They just won't get it. And I have a responsibility as a shepherd of the flock for your children to know what God's holy standard is. And I care about them. And I'm sure you care too. And it's with a heavy heart that I commence the study of the Ten Commandments. I believe we need to be prepared to listen, prepared to attend, and prepared to apply the commandments to our lives. 9 of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament. The one that's not is the Sabbath day, but we'll deal with the Sabbath day when we come to the Sabbath day. I'm not going to steal something from the fourth commandment this morning. Christ completely fulfilled the law. Matthew 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy but fulfill. Are you and I not to be followers of Christ? Are we not to be imitators of him? If he fulfilled the law, then you and I have a responsibility for the Ten Commandments to be God's standard implanted in our hearts. Now, I'm going to finish off in the next few moments just really saying something very general. When I was on holidays, I spent a lot of time studying. When Marcella was lying in the sun, as you can look at me, I didn't spend much time in the sun. But it's always an opportunity for me to do a lot of reading and a lot of studying as I was preparing for the Ten Commandments. And one of the men I got a lot of help from was a man called Phil Johnson. He's associated with John MacArthur, a college out in the United States. And I drew a lot from him, and I would want to say that this morning. There are a number of things about the commandments that we will notice as we go along. Romans 7, verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." The law is spiritual. When we think of the law, we think about what we do or what we don't do. But the law goes deeper than the outside. It goes right into the spirit of man. And that's what the Lord Jesus meant in Matthew 5, verse 28. Just listen to this carefully. "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." The law is not just what you do. It's what you thought about now. It goes right into your heart this morning. That's why it's a test if we love the Lord thy God with all our heart. It goes beyond the external. Jesus said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man from within, from out of the heart of man." And so you're maybe sitting comfortable this morning and you're thinking, well, I don't steal. Have you thought about it? I don't covet, really? Have you never coveted something that someone else had? The Lord said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. And we can point fingers at a lot of people. These commandments are directed to you and to me this morning, not to the person sitting beside you. The law is spiritual this morning. The law is broad this morning. Psalm 119, verse 96. "I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad." Let me say, and we'll deal with this as we go along. Take the fifth commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And the idea is within the home, the children reverence their mum and dad. But you know, it goes outside the home, doesn't it? We're to honor the government of the day. We are to respect those in authority. When we go into the classroom, we respect the teacher, the principal, the school. And when we get into the workplace, we respect the chain of command that's set down there. It teaches respect for all authority, not just within the home. It goes broader than that. The law is broader. Not only that, with the negative commands comes a positive as well. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." But you know what we should be doing? Reverencing that lovely name of our Lord and Savior. You see, with the negative, it comes a positive as well. We're obliged to help others obey the commandments. And also, we are forbidden to cause someone to break the commandments as well. There's a verse in Habakkuk 2, verse 15, perhaps taken a bit out of context, but let me read it this morning. You see, you could be as sober as a judge. Here's what it says in Habakkuk 2, verse 15. "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink." Oh, you maybe don't touch it yourself, but you've passed it on to someone else. You've maybe encouraged someone else to do it. You see, we are to encourage the keeping of the commandments. We are to discourage the breaking of the commandments. And encouraging someone to break a commandment, you may as well break that commandment yourself. You're just as guilty as the one who would do it. 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. As I said about the Ten Commandments, there is our obligation to God, there's our obligation to man. We're to love the Lord with our heart and soul, we're to love each other as ourselves. But let me say this, our love for God takes priority. If in somehow loving someone you're dishonoring God, then that's not loving your neighbor. Love for God must come first. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And the word hate is the idea of loving less. If we love anyone less than God, we're breaking this commandment. He has to be number one. We will see that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We ought to obey God rather than men. Most of these things, I have no doubt, are things that you know already. We must always keep the end of the law in sight. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, and I know the word commandment here is speaking about the teaching that people receive, solid teaching, but here's how the Authorized Version puts it. Now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned. This is God's holy standard. This is what it means to be sanctified this morning. To be sanctified. This is you and I becoming more like Christ and becoming Christ-like. That's the end in sight. Christ fulfilled the law perfectly. That's our goal. That's our desire this morning. I was sometimes watch those quiz programs when I'm waiting on the tea being ready. And I flick between Pointless and Chase. I shouldn't be advertising trash, but I think it was the Chase the other day. And they asked the question, how many of the laws associated with the Magna Carta are still in force today? There were 63 original laws or acts, whatever they wanted to call them. And the answer was only three. There's only three of the 63 are now still on the statute book. Some people would like to take some of the commandments out of God's statute book. But if you offend even in one point, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. It's not a pick and mix. We're looking for 10 out of 10. I wonder, will you be able to take it? Will you be able to handle it when we get in to the meat of it? Ken Trevett, who is a preacher I knew quite a number of years ago, he now works with North American Indian people, Native Americans, and he told a story about a court case, and this is going back to 2003, where in Alabama there was a monument with the Ten Commandments on it. And the judge was told, you have to take that out of the court case. And he refused. And eventually, they overruled him, and workers removed the monument with the Ten Commandments on it and put it out of sight. It was out of sight and out of mind. And maybe that's what we sometimes want to do with the Ten Commandments. Out of sight. Out of mind. Perhaps the best illustration, and I'm finished, and I know my time is gone, I have ever heard about the need for believers to keep the commandments, was one given once in my home church by Pastor Alec Judd, the late Pastor Judd. And I remember he was trying to explain the Ten Commandments, and he said there was a man who was the lord of the manor, and he employed a maid to look after the home because his wife was ill in bed. And he put down a list of all her duties. And she had to clean the kitchen. She had to prepare the meals. She had to do all of these different things. And she carried those duties out. And she was duly paid for carrying out those duties. But then eventually the lord of the manor, the lady, died. And he fell in love with the one who used to come into the home and was remarried. And the list came down. Because no longer was she an employee, no longer was she bound by this list. But you know what happened? All the things that were on the list, she did. Not now because she had to, because she loved him. And we obey the commandments not because we have to, but because we love the Lord with our heart and our soul and our mind. We're going to discover much in the Ten Commandments I believe you've never thought of. And that's a big statement. I want to commend the commandments to you and your families this morning. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for God's righteous, holy standard. Lord, where would we be without it? Lord, we do pray that the righteousness of God will be revealed in us. That men and women will know just by how we live, by the things we do, by the things we say, by the things we don't say, by things we don't do, that they'll know there's something about us that's different. May the righteousness of Christ be revealed in all of our lives. Bless thy word to our hearts this morning. Encourage God's people this morning. Lord, may we truly love the Lord with our heart, our soul, and our mind. And then we love our neighbor as ourselves. For in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing.